You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 21st of September 2021. The Australian share market recovered some of yesterday's losses. We'll tell you more in a few moments, but we'll start with those developments out of China, that property development company Evergrande. Of course, we are waiting for more information from the company and what the Chinese government will do about it, because it may collapse. For more, I spoke earlier with independent economist Janu Chan, who is based in Hong Kong. So from my understanding, it's holding more than $300 billion in debt, but most of that is in China, right? Does that mean it reduces the chances of it becoming a Lehman Brothers style collapse and the implications won't be as big as what we saw with Lehman's?
But some of that debt is held by overseas, but yes, most of that exposure is in China. Some of that $300 billion is actually liabilities owed to workers and businesses, as well as loans from banks within China. I'd say that this is one key difference with Lehman Brothers, in that it isn't as interconnected with the global financial system as much as Lehman Brothers. But I would say that the biggest difference between Evergrande and Lehman Brothers is the potential for what authorities can do and will do. I think when we think back to Lehman Brothers, Bernanke did come out and say he did everything that they could to prevent its collapse, but they really couldn't really do much about it. It is a bit of a different situation with Evergrande, but at the same time, I think Chinese authorities have a bigger purpose in mind, in that it wants some of this risk within the property sector. They don't want to be seeing that anymore, and so they have put in all of these curbs within the property sector to also impose limits on debt for a number of property developers. All of that combined has put some of really indebted property developers in trouble, like Evergrande.
So how do you see all of this playing out?
A bailout doesn't seem likely, for the reasons that the government wants the property sector, has been putting on curbs in the property sector. But at the same time, there have been signs that it's not going to want a large collapse or major flow-on effects to the financial system and to the broader economy. They want to limit that. What has been interesting is that in the past couple of months, some major lenders to Evergrande have been offering more lenient terms. It has been able to extend out some loans to some state-owned banks, which is, sort of unique to Evergrande's situation. A bailout itself in helping Evergrande doesn't really seem likely. And I think Evergrande because it has a lot of, at the moment, it hasn't been able to sell some of its assets to pay off some of its debts and liabilities, having trouble in this environment, it does seem likely that some down the track you'll need some sort of debt restructure. With that, there is going to be that potential fallout. Now, I would think that the Chinese authorities would do everything they can prevent too much contagion impacting on the rest of the financial system. I would expect that it would provide a significant amount of support to the banking system. I think there are a lot of question marks maybe around the property sector and other property developers, which might also be in a high level of debt. There's a lot of question marks about what they do there. I think it does seem as though that it is likely that they'll be able to contain the most of the risk within China, if they're able to manage the fallout and the risk in the financial system and not have this spread out more broadly. But I guess the thing is that, look, contagion is going to be a hard thing to manage, and we're going to find out over the next couple of days which companies have this exposure to the Chinese property sector and how the Chinese economy is going to be impacted.
Interest payments on that debt due on Thursday. So that's the first real test for Evergrande. Janu Chan there, she's an independent economist speaking to me from Hong Kong. The Australian share market, while it opened weaker, did climb back into positive territory. The 207,273, that's up 0.4%. For more on that and market reaction, I spoke earlier to Robert Telewski from Activist Investment Management.
Yeah, so the markets fell as low as 0.3% early in trade. They've recovered to sort of break even almost at this point. It just shows that there's plenty of investors out there that are ignoring the short-term noise and prepared to sort of support the equity market and buy on the dips as we've seen in the sort of the past 17 months. The materials and energy sectors were the leaders today. Unfortunately, the banks gave up a little bit of ground. Overnight, the US markets were down 1.7%, as low as 2.6% at that particular point. The pullback mainly stems from the concerns around the Chinese property developer Evergrande and its the risk around it defaulting on its $300 billion in liabilities. And the fact that that could spill over to obviously other markets in the region and globally. Other concerns on the investors' minds are the Fed meeting today and really talking about pulling back on stimulus. And I guess this is a concern more so because in light of recent months where we've seen some softer global activity data, this could be a little bit too early in some minds. Interestingly, if we go back, September historically has been a poor month for equity markets in the past. If you take the last 25 years, equity markets have been negative around about 0.5%. So that sort of trend seems to continue here. But S&P 500, it's still only 5% off its highs. So it's that was set back in September the 2nd.
Okay, so you mentioned some investors potentially ignoring the short-term noise. How worried are you about the potential collapse of Evergrande?
The best way I could sort of describe the Evergrande issue is probably to be alert but not to be alarmed. Concerns around obviously are around its risk around defaulting on its $300 billion loan. It could go a couple of ways. The government could come in and bail them out, but that's probably the least likely outcome, given that they don't want to be seen to be bailing out companies who really couldn't keep a lid on their debts, and that's not really going to set a good precedent for that going forward. Most likely, in my view, we might see a restructure of their debt, where they may have to pay down their debt over a period of time. Now, investors will probably have to take a haircut, I guess, in some instances, but ultimately the customers will still get delivery of their properties. Look, as it stands, this in the emerging markets in general, there seems to be a broader impact to emerging markets at play. We are closely monitoring the asset class. Rising interest rates and sovereign risks, as we've seen in the last few months, may act as a headwind for future returns in this emerging market sector.
I guess one immediate reaction was that big fall in the iron ore price. Well, what's that all about, and are you worried about it?
Yeah, so iron ore, Australia's largest export, has continued to fall in price from $233 a tonne to, as of last night, $90 a tonne. The price probably overshot on the upside. It had no business hovering around over $200 a tonne in the first place, in my view. This price drop is likely to have a negative impact on the miners, the likes of BHP, Rio and Fortescue and other mining companies, as well as the Australian government's revenue sources. At $90, it's still well above most miners' sort of ability to make profit on that. But interestingly, the price of other Australian commodity beneficiaries, the likes of coal, which has tripled in the last few months, aluminium, copper, nickel, and gas, have been on a tear in the recent few months. So, you know, this all really supports that super cycle in commodity demand that we spoke about a few months ago at that sort of initial reopening. And this should all support Aussie equity market sort of going forward.
Robert Tulewski there. So with the market easing back, are there opportunities? Here he is again.
So, I mean, at the moment, from our point of view, obviously it's a risk, but it's also probably, you know, ring fence in the sense that it might just be, we're not expecting to see a Lehman Brothers scenario where there's a contagion at this point in time. In terms of how we are actually a little bit more conservative in our positioning with our portfolios. So while we continue to position our portfolios for both to capture upside in markets and downside, I guess what you call the all-weather approach, whilst we're keeping a close eye on the weak data that we're seeing in recent months, I think you have to sort of consider the fact that, you know, it's not macroeconomic, but it's more earnings that tends to drive equities in the long term as well. We're favouring more quality, I guess what you call the quality style of investment, investing in companies that, you know, should weather higher interest rate storms, obviously higher inflation, companies that are not as highly indebted as compared to others, and that can have that ability to pass on any inflation impact going forward. The likes of the banks here in Australia and BHP, and in the US, examples like Google and Nestle.
Robert Tulewski there from Activus.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.